Welcome back to another episode of the Mind and My Wellness podcast. Today is a very special guest episode, and I'm having my friend and fellow macro coach, Samara, on from No Meat Macros on Instagram to talk all things plant-based protein and how to achieve macros with a plant-based diet, whether you're vegetarian, vegan, or even pescatarian, and you're struggling to hit your protein. So in this episode, we talk through a ton of protein options for those that do not eat meat, as well as the hierarchy of protein and how we should be thinking about our plant-based proteins when we're building out our meals. So I'm so excited to dive into this episode and help those of you who are looking for more plant-based protein options and how to include those into your diet. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Welcome to the Mind and My Wellness podcast, your podcast for all things macros, movement, mindset, and everything in between. I'm your host, Dani Marienberg, an ex-yo-yo dieting cardio junkie turned sustainable nutrition coach who's helped over 1,000 women feel confident in their skin by learning how to eat for their goals without sacrificing a life well lived. I created the Mind and My Wellness podcast to give you simple, effective, and manageable tips you can take away from each episode and implement in your daily life to look and feel like the best version of you. Each week, my guests and I teach you the secrets to mastering your health and owning your power. Nutrition, mindset, movement, and women's health are all topics you'll find here. Think of our time together as your productive little health break from the day. So grab your headphones, fill up your water, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi, Samara. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So a little background. I mean, I think we just met years ago on Instagram, and then we met in person last year at a coaching summit, which was absolutely amazing to get to meet you in real life, but Samara has become like one of my macro besties, and I'm really excited to have her on the podcast today to talk through all things plant-based macros and getting in your protein with plant-based sources, as Samara is plant-based. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you even discovered macros, how long you've been plant-based. Just give us a little overview.
Yeah, so I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years. As a kid, I never really liked meat, but my mom made us eat it. But my preference was to not have meat. So once I got into college and I was more in charge of my nutrition, then I pulled back on meat completely. And I don't think I made any swaps. I just stopped eating meat. And so over, you know, years of being an adult, learning a little bit more about nutrition, eventually I got pregnant and really took my nutrition seriously. My midwife had me eating protein for the first time, or at least tracking my protein for the first time. So that's when I started to like, okay, where is my protein actually coming from? Taking it a little bit more serious in terms of being a little bit more well-rounded. And fast forward years later, my sister, who is currently my trainer, was my very first macro coach. And I had a goal of building some muscle. And she's like, okay, well, we need to lift some weights and eat some protein. And so she gave me, I think, like 100 grams of protein was my first goal. And I was like, what? How do you do that? How do you get?
How do I eat 100 grams of protein?
Yeah, that seemed like such a big mountain. When I first started tracking, I think I was like averaging 50 to 60 grams of protein a day. So it felt really, really overwhelming. And I think, God, protein shakes and protein powder was like, I think I had three a day just because I just didn't really have a good understanding of protein. When people would ask me pre-macro tracking, where do you get your protein if you don't eat meat? I would say things like, oh, I eat beans and eggs and nuts. I'm fine. And then once I started tracking, I was like, oh, wow, I'm not really taking in as much as I thought I was taking in. So that's totally snowballed into this evolution of discovering and really like researching and diving deep into how do I get more protein, well-rounded protein without eating meat, so that I'm not relying on 3 protein shakes a day. So that's kind of where it started for me.
Amazing. And where is your protein target now?
My protein target ranges anywhere from 120 to 130 grams of protein, and I rarely drink protein shakes. I have nothing against them. I just don't need them because I've refined kind of my sources and the way I like to build my meals enough to this point. I don't need to supplement anymore. My minimum targets are 100. So like if I'm traveling or just in a season where it's more difficult to get protein in, 100 grams of protein is what used to be like the hardest mountain for me to climb. That's now my minimum. So yeah, so anywhere kind of within there, depending on my goal.
That's amazing. And I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people who maybe are not completely vegetarian or vegan, but maybe you're even like pescatarian and you're really struggling hitting your protein without relying on protein powders, bars, shakes. So how did you go from eating 40, 50 grams of protein then to now 120, 130 grams of protein? Was it something that was easy for you to implement? I mean, it sounds like it definitely was a learning curve, but tell us a little bit about that journey for you and what helped you most in terms of increasing your protein intake.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question because it was like an evolution. And I think that a lot of times when people are coming to me and they are eating 50 grams of protein consistently, and they see people eating upwards of 100 grams of protein, that feels like a very overwhelming hurdle to cross over. And what I like to tell people, it's a slow and small evolution. If I have clients that come to me and they are not used to hitting a protein target, we're just little bits at a time. Let's increase by 20 grams. And then once you feel comfortable there, let's go up another 20 grams. And so for me, when I first started increasing protein and like looking for ways to do that, that wasn't protein shakes, it was experiment city. I would go to the grocery stores and go up and down the aisles and just see, and I would read labels and just get really familiar with plant-based protein sources. I ate tofu, but I didn't eat it regularly. And then, you know, once I started looking for more protein sources and realized how amazing of a protein source tofu is and tempeh, and then I, you know, was like, oh, seitan, what's seitan, you know? And I just started experimenting. I just started buying. I just started trying some things I loved, some things I hated. I was online constantly on Pinterest looking for different recipes and ideas, and I just dove head in. I was not a macro coach at the time, so this was just for myself. I was just trying to learn as much as possible to optimize my protein intake. It sounds silly, but that really is one of the best ways to approach it because I constantly am sharing ideas, but my taste buds and my preferences and the way I like to make my meals is going to be different than yours. So learning the hierarchy of proteins, because not all vegetarian proteins are created equal. So learning where beans and nuts and tofu, where they have their place on your plate was really important. And then getting familiar with what sources can you incorporate in the types of foods you like to eat. That's going to be something too. So experimenting, exploring, trying things, trying different ways of making things, it's really going to be your best bet because you'll collect your own little repertoire of sources that you really like, and those will very easily become go-tos for you.
Yeah. I love that you bring up the hierarchy of those plant-based proteins. I want to dive into that, but before we dive into that, can you kind of just go through what some of your staple proteins are? And then let's break it down into that hierarchy.
Yeah, for sure. Prefacing it by I'm vegetarian and not vegan, right? So I do incorporate some eggs, some dairy. So egg whites and Greek yogurt are part of my daily diet. But then on the flip side, I have a lot of vegan proteins, and a lot of my meals end up being fully vegan because of these protein sources. So I have tofu, tempeh, seitan, which is a wheat gluten-based protein. Seitan is probably one of the most like heavy hitters, I like to call it, in terms of like protein to calorie ratios. It's a protein that not a lot of people know a lot about or have experimented with. Those are really important. TVP, which is a textured vegetable protein. It's a soy-based dehydrated crumble. It's really versatile. It has no flavor. It's shelf stable. It's pretty affordable, and you can add it to so many different things. And there's a pea protein version of that. So it's, again, it's a dehydrated crumble that's mostly protein that you can add to so many soups, stews, oatmeal. The sky is the limit with that. And then I also have, of course, beans. I love chickpeas, black beans. Those are like daily staples. And then I do have some like mock meat type stuff that I keep in my fridge and freezer. I'm looking always for breads or wraps or something that has a higher protein profile, because that's an easy way to kind of layer on your protein to build a meal. But I always have protein options in my freezer, pantry, and fridge. That's like my big thing, is like easy to access proteins. But I would say that tofu, Greek yogurt, eggs are probably daily staples, but I eat all of those within the course of a week for sure.
I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to quickly interrupt to share with you something that I only wish I knew years ago on my health journey that changed everything for me. I was the girl who had tried every diet under the sun, worked out 7 days a week, yet was constantly left feeling disappointed that all my hard work and time wasn't paying off. Can you relate? If the answer is yes, then my free training, 3 Steps to Transform Your Body with Macros, is just for you. In this training, I share the secrets to leveraging your metabolism to lose fat without restriction, eliminating the foods you love, or sacrificing a life well lived. So if you're ready to say so long to yo-yo dieting and kick low-calorie diets to the curb, you're not going to want to miss this free training. Head on over to mindedmymacros.com/free-training to register today. Or you can head on over to my show notes to find the link. I hope to see you there. All right, now back to the episode. When you mentioned the breads, are there any that come to mind right now as people are listening, like, oh, what are some brands or types of more higher protein?
Anything sprouted is always going to be a little bit higher protein. So I love a good Ezekiel bread. It's like 5 grams of protein per slice. So 10 grams of protein if you're making a sandwich, right? That's easy. The Joseph's brand, they have like lavashes and wraps or whatever. They have protein in them too. Aldi used to have this protein bread and they don't anymore, but Trader Joe's has a version of it. It's like a sprouted sourdough, I believe, and it has 10 grams of protein per slice. Easy right there. Like you do peanut butter and you're good to go.
Amazing. Okay, so let's dive into that hierarchy, because I don't think a lot of people think about this in terms of these proteins and actually how to prioritize them. So tell us a little bit about this hierarchy of these plant-based proteins.
Yes, this is like the biggest thing when I'm talking to vegans and vegetarians about building their plates around protein. It is understanding this hierarchy. This is because a lot of people come to me and there's what I used to say, I'm eating peanut butter and I'm eating nuts and I'm not hitting my protein goals. Peanut butter and nuts are amazing and we need to keep incorporating them for a variety of reasons, but they are not protein sources. I'm right. So sorry to say that. I know that like peanut butter is a fat source that happens to have protein. Most of the calories in peanut butter are going towards fat and not protein. Beans are a carb source that just happen to have protein. So when I talk about hierarchy of protein, the top of the tier, if we're going to look at a pyramid, the top of the tier would be tofu, tempeh, seitan, those TVP products or the textured pea protein products, right? Like those are their main amount of calories are coming from protein in those products, right? So we should be building our meals around that top tier of the hierarchy. Because when you're building a plate, you're going to have to eat a lot of chickpeas in order to get 30 grams of protein in a plate, right? And like, we love chickpeas.
And also like manage your carbohydrates too.
Totally. And like, I'm sorry, if I ate 30 grams of protein from chickpeas, I'm probably going to be in a little bit of distress.
Oh, yeah. Lots of discomfort.
Totally. So when you're thinking about like building a meal around like 25 grams to 30 grams of protein per meal, it's going to be difficult to get that through peanut butter and chickpeas and quinoa, right? So if we think about maybe the most of that 25 to 35 grams are coming from those top tier sources, tofu, tempeh, seitan, then we can, let's say we're getting a good 20 grams of protein from those top tier sources, okay? We want to get a little bit more. Now we include that second tier, which is where I would put chickpeas and lentils and quinoa and those sprouted breads and anything that has like 5 to 10 grams of protein in there, right? It's going to offer us a protein boost to add to that protein, but it's also going to add fiber, usually a lot of micronutrients that are essential. And then if we think of the bottom, those are going to be things like nutritional yeast, spirulina, roots and vegetables that have protein in them. What else? Like hemp seeds, flax seeds, all of those are really important and I want people to continue eating them, but know where they are in the place. So, you know, if you're making a yogurt bowl, so this is not going to be a vegan example, but a vegetarian example, Greek yogurt is going to be that top tier. Maybe you're adding some nut butter on that bottom tier to support it. And then we're sprinkling some hemp seeds or flax seeds on top. And that is an easy 30 grams of protein right there. That is going to be fiber-filled, really satisfying, and having that variety of protein sources is also really important, being plant-based, to make sure we're getting all of those amino acids that are important to hit.
Love that. I know you test out some mock proteins as well, or mock, what do you call them?
It's hard to say. It's like no meat, mock meat.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would be, of the ones that you've tried, what are some of your favorite brands or products that you found?
Great question. So again, a lot of the mock meats that I do enjoy are seitan based because they have a higher protein profile. So that seitan base is not going to be for my gluten-free babes. Just throwing that out there. But Abbott's Butcher is like one I use constantly. It's a pea protein base and they have different types of crumbles, flavors, whatever. I love that one. I use Daring a lot. Daring is a soy-based. It's in the freezer section, so it's very easy for me to take out and throw. It's like a replacement for chicken. Upton's Natural is a great one. I use them all the time. They're a seitan-based. They have a vegan chorizo that I love. They have a vegan bacon I love. And these, you can all find them typically at like a regular grocery store or a Whole Foods for sure. And the thing I want to say about mock meats is I think it gets a bad rap of like overly processed or just like such a fake food, when in reality, we have evolved a lot with like our food processes, especially in the like faux meat category. And you really can find like a mock meat that fits your dietary preferences. And when I say that, I mean like a lot of people are very interested in what the labels are saying in terms of ingredients. That Abbott's Butcher, all the ingredients listed on that label, I have in my pantry. I could easily make something like that based off of the ingredients. So kind of going back to what I was saying in the beginning about experimenting, exploring, take some time and walk through the grocery store aisles and turn around these labels and read them and try them. You can find something that fits within your comfort level and you might be surprised of how much you enjoy it. And now that's a very easy source to incorporate and add into your collection to make hitting protein easy. Those options tend to be one of the easier options because they're already seasoned. They're already ready to go. You just have to like saute them or add them to things. And as much as like I love spending time cooking my fresh tofu in the oven,
right,
sometimes I don't have the time. And I really am grateful for these options that I can just throw on top of a salad or on top of a pasta, things like that.
I love that you mentioned, you know, having things in your freezer, your fridge, and your pantry. I always talk about staple proteins specifically. Mine are, because I do eat animal products, so mine do tend to be meat-based. So it's really helpful to hear from a plant-based perspective, those hierarchies, but then also, you know, having those staples in those areas that you can easily pull from, and then have options that are more on the go. Because I mean, more often than not, a lot of us don't really have the time always to build this beautiful meal. So thanks for providing those options for us. And my last question for you, more of a fun question for a lot of these different products, where do you like to grocery shop most? Or where do you most often grocery shop?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I had one grocery store that I go to all the time, but in the reality, there's like four or five. If I'm being perfectly honest, my latest obsession is Aldi. I love Aldi so much, and they have so many plant-based protein options these days. Even their like extra firm tofu was like $1.50 for a thing, which is pretty affordable. They just have some great, great options if you're willing to take some time to explore. Whole Foods is a staple for me because they do carry a large selection of plant-based options. They have like literally like a whole section in the cooler section, and then they have some shelf-stable options within there too. So like that's a monthly staple for sure. And then just my local grocery store. Because of what I do, I am constantly looking for options for people. And I've been surprised over the last few years, the increase in plant-based protein options. So there's always been like vegan and vegetarian options, but not necessarily protein forward. And I think that there's such a like influx of products out there that you can find at just a local grocery store that I'm just really grateful for because it makes it so easy. So, but I will say I'm shopping mostly at Trader Joe's, Aldi, and Whole Foods, and then local grocery store here and there. Yeah.
What you just said in terms of the options, I just thought back to, you know, I was doing all of these different diets, trying like everything. And for a while I went vegan, vegetarian. I mean, it was just, I was not very consistent with anything at that time. But I remember my meat replacement was jackfruit, and that is not at all a protein replacement.
Oh, it's
which is
tasty,
funny.
But
yeah, it tastes great.
That's where people get tripped up is that they're like, oh, this mushroom burger, which is going to taste amazing. Don't get me wrong, but that's you're replacing a protein with a vegetable,
right?
And like, we want to eat our vegetables. Where is your protein coming from? And I think that's really important. And kind of what you said at the beginning of the interview, I have clients that come to me that are not vegan or vegetarian, but they're looking for a diversity in their protein sources. They're doing Meatless Monday and they want to still hit their macros and stuff like that. So I do want people to know all of the options out there. Like you're not stuck eating the same few things, no matter what your diet is. There's a lot of options out there that are easily accessible. You just have to take a little time to explore and experiment.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much for all of your knowledge in this area. It's so helpful, I'm sure, for so many who are not wanting to eat as much animal proteins, but still prioritize their protein. So where can my listeners find you?
Mostly on Instagram, No Meat Macros. It's a very literal name. But that's where I'm showing what I'm finding at the stores, what I'm eating, tips on hitting your protein. All that stuff is over there on Instagram.
Amazing. And I'll link it down in the show notes for you guys too. But thank you so much, Samara, for joining me today.
Anytime.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I love hearing from you, so shoot me a DM over on Instagram at MindAndMyMacros to keep the convo going. If you've learned anything from this episode or any of my past episodes, I'd really love it if you took a few seconds to leave a quick rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I love hearing what you've learned or what you've taken away from any of these episodes. It means so much to me when you do that. And if you have any friends you know that need a little help kicking some old dieting mentalities to the curb and want some simple, effective, and sustainable tips to feel their best, share a link to this episode with them. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.